KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have partly to mostly cloudy skies and 47 degrees. We look forward to be partly to mostly sunny today and windy, a high of 65. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. In state news, the Des Moines School District wants the Iowa Supreme Court to review a judge's ruling that allows a former superintendent's lawsuit to proceed. Judge Glenn Pilley ruled last month that emails sent and received by former Superintendent Nancy Sebring through her district-issued email account and electronics should have remained confidential. Her invasion of privacy lawsuit argues that the emails were personal and not subject to the state's open records laws. Des Moines Public Schools said the emails were public records. The case is scheduled to go to trial in November. The Des Moines Register says the school district is arguing that Pilley's ruling could have a chilling effect on the release of public records. More news in just a moment. KJAN News Time is 8:01.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson True Value for all your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut Street in beautiful downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Police in Atlantic said yesterday that there were no injuries reported following a collision late Tuesday morning at the intersection of Highway 6 and 22nd Street. Authorities say a vehicle driven by Mark Darrow of Merriam Woods, Missouri, was preparing to turn onto 22nd Street off of southbound Highway 6 and had stopped to wait for traffic to pass before making a turn. A vehicle driven by Thomas Dahl of Dexter was also traveling south on Highway 6 and failed to stop in time before rear-ending the Woods vehicle. The accident happened around 11:15 a.m. Damage from the collision amounted to $6,500. Dahl was cited for failure to maintain control and or reduce speed. Well, Tuesday afternoon, low humidity, dry grasses and timber and very gusty winds helped to spread a 15-acre fire in Montgomery County into a 30-acre fire. Emergency manager Brian Hammond said the Red Oak Fire Department was paged to a possible field fire just before 4 p.m. Tuesday in the area of 230th Street and J Avenue. Hammond says when crews arrived, they found nearly 15 acres of cornstalk rubble, or rather stubble, on fire, with flames moving rapidly to the south. Mutual aid was requested from the Stanton Fire Department, and multiple tractors with discs were used to stop the spread of the flames. A total of 30 acres burned, and crews were on the scene for roughly 3 hours Tuesday. Hammond says that a hot exhaust pipe was sitting in the field while workers were marking terraces caused by the fire. One crew noticed the fire. They attempted to extinguish their fire extinguisher, but were unable to do so due to the strong winds and dry conditions. The fire weather index on Tuesday was very high at the time, and there, as we mentioned last hour, there were numerous fires yesterday in Montgomery and Page counties as well. Well, the Cass County Board of Supervisors had a very light agenda Wednesday morning, and consequently, they had a relatively short session. The board moved to reappoint Chair Frank Waters to the Southwest Iowa Mental Health Regional Governing Board. In other business, the supervisors approved a final payment to Gus Construction for a box culvert project on Boston Road, about a mile east of the valley, near the Highway 71 Interstate 80 interchange. Engineer Charles Marker provided an update on that project.
The total construction cost for that project was $207,324.48. I'm authorized to make those payments because they are out of my budget, but I thought you'd like to know that we are wrapping that one up finally, and it will be to Gus Construction.
Marker said also that applications closed last Friday for a truck driver's position associated with the Secondary Roads Department's Messina County Shed.
In all, we received 42 applications. We reviewed them Friday. I asked Alice to set up some interviews this week. We picked out 6 candidates to interview. We did 2 of them on Monday, 4 of them yesterday. After that, Rich and I sit down this morning and have kind of narrowed it down to our top 2 people.
A background check is currently underway on those 2 individuals. Marker said also that a single bid had been received for a replacement of a culvert pipe northeast of Marnie with a concrete box type. No decision has been made on accepting the bid at this time, though. And Cass County Attorney Dan Feistner yesterday mentioned to the board that he's looking into selecting a law school intern through a program with the Iowa Attorney General's office.
You know, it's just a good program to help future prosecutors come in and do summer training, so probably be looking at that just the paperwork I need to get in and get it approved, and then we typically have them come in over the summer. And from a second or third year law student, usually is what they look for. So it's a pretty good program, so helps place future prosecutors.
According to the Iowa AG's website, first and second year law students are being sought for the 2014 summer internships. The office is unable to offer paid internships for first year students and has a limited number of paid internships for second year students. The office has slots for some 10 to 15 summer interns. A Western Iowa lawmaker who's been absent from the state Senate for a month was back in the Capitol in Des Moines Wednesday. Senator Hubert Hauser, a Republican from Carson, met with the Secretary of the Senate Wednesday morning to ask that he not be paid for a week's worth of daily expense money that legislators receive.
And I asked him about past practices, and he says this is probably the first time this has ever been done. There's been absences before, but they've never bothered to, ask for a reimbursement.
Hauser, who's 71 years old, does not intend to seek re-election this November after 22 years of service in the Iowa House and Senate. He said he was surprised by the controversy sparked by his absence.
You know, the way I look at it, as having been around here a long time, that I was only on standing committees, and that I was, that part was done, pretty well done when I left, and I'm in the minority, and I'm retired, and I'm a lame duck, and, there wasn't much for me to do here at all, really.
Republicans hold 24 seats in the Senate compared to the 26 Democrats hold, meaning the Democrats get to control the Senate's debate agenda. Hauser said he's been spending time expanding his farm operation, building new livestock facilities for his 34-year-old granddaughter to run. Hauser said he's notified the Republican leaders in the Senate that he needed to be home for the construction process.
And so they knew, and they said, well, will you come in for if we need you for votes? And I said, sure, we'll do that.
Hauser was on the Senate floor early Wednesday morning and planned to be in the Senate every day until the 2014 session adjourns, perhaps sometime this month, according to legislative leaders. Hauser says he spent the past year finding other legislators who will champion key issues that he's handled over the past two decades. And he says he's found members of the Iowa House who will take up the cause for the Luss Hills and for the Glenwood Resource Center. A House committee has advanced a bill that supporters say could be the vehicle used to ratify a deal that would end greyhound racing in Iowa. Representative Guy Vanderlinden, a Republican from Oskaloosa, was one of 23 members of the House Ways and Means Committee to vote for a bill that will be altered later with the details of whatever deal is struck.
It is the intent of the General Assembly to enact legislation relating to live dog racing requirements at pari-mutuel dog race tracks.
Representative Todd Pritchard, a Democrat from Charles City, said officials from the greyhound industry and casinos in Council Bluffs and Dubuque, where dogs race today, have been negotiating for a couple of weeks.
It's my understanding that there are the parties are close to an agreement, if not having an agreement, and they're finalizing that. So would hope that that process continues and that we have an acceptable agreement.
And the stakeholders, the casinos rather, say they're sinking $13 million into a year into subsidizing greyhound races that a few patrons bet on or watch. Legislators anticipate a deal between the greyhound industry and the two casinos that would have the casinos pay a cessation fee and pay into a multi-million dollar retirement fund for greyhound owners and breeders in Iowa. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, there's another promising sign from deep in the Indian Ocean. The coordinator of the search for a Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 said today that an Australian aircraft detected what could be a signal in the same area where a Navy vessel on four other occasions picked up signals. Officials say the sounds will have to undergo further analysis before it can be determined whether they're pings from a plane's black boxes. A House committee is expected to vote today on whether to hold a former Internal Revenue Service official in contempt of Congress for refusing to answer questions at two hearings. Lois Lerner refused to answer questions at a House Oversight Committee hearing about IRS agents improperly singling out Tea Party applications for extra scrutiny. She again refused to answer questions at a hearing in March. One child is still in critical condition in an Orlando, Florida hospital following yesterday's crash in which a convertible crashed through a daycare center in Winter Park, Florida. One child was killed and most of the 14 people injured were children. And now authorities are looking for a man they say was driving an SUV that struck the convertible, causing it to jump a curb and smash into the building. Authorities say 26-year-old Robert Alex Corchado has been arrested eight times since 2000. A Family Dollar company says it's closing 370 underperforming stores as it looks for ways to improve its financial performance. The chain says it's also cutting prices on about 1,000 basic items. The Family Dollar reports its profit and revenue decline in the second quarter as it dealt with winter weather. Family Dollar currently has about 8,100 stores in about 46 states. And finally, the new CenturyLink technicians are scrambling to get 911 emergency phone service restored in Washington State after the service went out early this morning. A spokeswoman said the problem began around 1:30 a.m. local time at Sheridan, Oregon, and Oregon was affected for a time. It has since been restored in Oregon, but the service remains out in Washington. News time is 8:11.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson True Value for all your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut Street in beautiful downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
In our funeral announcements, Florence Christensen, age 84, of Bellevue, Nebraska, and formerly of Brayton, died Monday. Funeral services for Florence Christensen will be today at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Bellevue, with a Bellevue Memorial Chapel in charge of arrangements. Mildred Millie Rosenau, age 74, of Shelby, died Monday in Harlan. Funeral services for Millie Rosenau will be today at 10:30 at the United Lutheran Church in Shelby. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Shelby has arrangements. George Campbell, age 89, of Harlan, died Sunday. Funeral services for George Campbell will be today at 11 o'clock at the Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Jacksonville. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. William Plate and Mavis Plate, both age 82 and both of Earlham, died Saturday. Joint memorial services for William and Mavis Plate will be held today at 11 o'clock at the Early Christian Chapel in rural Earlham. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham has arrangements. Mary Ann Mathiason, age 78, of Harlan, died Monday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Mary Ann Mathiason will be today at 2 o'clock at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Belmont Marie Cook, age 96, of Earlham, died Tuesday in Winterset. Funeral services for Velma Cook will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Bear Creek Friends Church in rural Dexter. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earlham has arrangements. Yvonne Book, age 88, of Panora, died Monday at Panora Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Yvonne Book will be on Friday at 10:30 at St. Thomas Lutheran Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Also, John Elmer Lind, age 62, of Harlan, died Saturday at the Elmcrest Retirement Community. Memorial services for John Lind will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the United Methodist Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Clara Betts, age 89, of Coon Rapids, died January 10th. Funeral services for Clara Betts will be held Saturday at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has arrangements. Audrey Zimmerman, age 90, of Avoca, died Thursday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Graveside services for Audrey Zimmerman will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Graceland Cemetery in Avoca. The Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca is in charge of the arrangements. Elsie Marie Hackett, age 93, of Oakland, died March the 12th at the Oakland Manor. Memorial services for Elsie Hackett will be on Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Rican Veith Funeral Home in Oakland. Marjorie Kaufman, age 89, of Oakland, died Wednesday at Mercy Hospital in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Marjorie Kaufman are pending at the Rican Veith Funeral Home in Oakland. Daryl Duell Fisher, age 66, of Audubon, died Wednesday. Funeral services for Daryl Fisher are pending at the Sharp Funeral Home in Carroll. Patricia Kincaid Dorsey, age 64, of Atlantic, died Tuesday. Services for Patricia Kincaid Dorsey are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Don Lynam, age 92, of Indianola and formerly of Greenfield, died Sunday in Indianola. Funeral services for Don Lynam are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Our news and funeral announcements brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 75 years. I'm Rick Henson reporting.